The race to finals is heating up, and welcome back to Steve's NRL Footy Tips for Round 22. I'm your host, Stephen Westway. Massive show coming up today, guys. This premiership race, it's more open than I think a lot of people thought it would be at this point of the season. And what about the finals race? Is there more than 9 teams in contention? Manly and Newcastle now only sit 1 point out of the top 8, and the South Sydney Rabbitohs, they have dropped out of the 8. So a lot to talk about this week, some teams that are in must-win situations. And yeah, we're only, 6 weeks away from the start of the 2023 finals. So it's an exciting time in the world of rugby league, and we're going to get into all the big issues in a moment. But before we do, I just want to send out a very special thanks to both Matt Kozru and Nicole Timotreski for being on the show the last 2 weeks. Me and Nicole, 2 weeks ago, we had a conversation about the Rugby League's Players Association's dispute slash war with the NRL. Now, that has escalated. We're going to talk about that in a moment. Last week, it was great having Matt back on the show to talk all things footy like we always do, and his beloved Dragons, who got a big win last Thursday night to get off the bottom of the ladder and, you know, just get out of the way of the West Tigers to pretty much cement the Tigers getting the wooden spoon this year. Unfortunately, during that podcast, we did have technical issues and the second half of the conversation did get cut, but I hope you guys enjoyed the podcast that was presented, and hopefully we can stop any technical issues from happening for the rest of the season. And really, it's been a better year for Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Viewership's never been higher. Audience engagement's never been higher. And I want to thank you guys for all the support that you've shown me this year. You guys are the reason I continue to record this podcast every week. It's something that started as, you know, just a bit of fun, me sitting down and giving my opinions every week, and just whether listeners were going to listen or not, or whether I was going to grow a constant audience. That's just been a bonus, because I was just in it for a bit of fun. And, you know, for something that I record out of a single room, it's taken on a life of its own, and we're, you know, at the back end of 4 years now for Steve's NRL Footy Tips. So thank you guys for all the support as always. If you haven't, go check out Steve's NRL Footy Tips on Facebook. Like that page. It's really the lifeblood of this podcast. It's where you get the updates. It's where I can engage with the audience. So check that page out. Hopefully at the start of 2024, when the show returns for its 50th year, I can get an Instagram up and running and a lot of improvements planned for the future of the show in terms of audio, in terms of more guests, and in terms of just overall quality. But, you know, how you guys support and how you guys help me do that is going to Spotify, going to Apple Podcasts, going to all these places where you guys listen to your favorite podcast, hitting that subscribe button. It really helps the algorithm and helps this get this podcast out to new listeners and to new ears, people that love Rugby League as much as we do. So if you guys could do that, I'd appreciate it. And, you know, every view, every listen, every like, it just helps the show tremendously. And I want to thank everybody that's been a part of this journey since the start of 2020. And I want to, you know, get more people in, get more listeners listening to it as we get into the finals this year. So it's been unreal, and it's been one of the best seasons, you know, I can remember, especially in the last decade of rugby league. It's 2023. It's as close as a competition as you'll ever see. And at this point of the season, to have, you know, between 4 to 6 genuine premiership contenders to take out the title, it's the most we've had in a number of years. And obviously, the Penrith Panthers, they're well ahead. They're top of the ladder at the moment for a reason. They're tied to Brisbane Broncos on points, but their four and against has been unreal. Their defense is crazy as well. And they're going to be really hard to stop at the back end of this finals campaign. And I expect them, I think everyone basically expects them to at least make a prelim and perhaps the grand final, win it all again. So, you know, they're going to be unstoppable. But, you know, there's some teams around them and around that space, like the Broncos, the Warriors, the Storm, you know, the Cowboys in red hot form as well. And, you know, see how Sydney can somehow put it together after leaving the top 8 last week and going down to 9th, then we're going to have a wide premiership race at the back end of the season. And I think everybody knows it. So, yeah, it's an exciting time to be a rugby league fan. There's no doubt about it. And unfortunately, with all this excitement, I mean, you've got even the Warriors. I mentioned them, but the Warriors have been one of the feel-good stories of the year. The expansion of the competition has definitely worked with the Dolphins coming in. But with all this excitement, unfortunately, we have to deal with this whole Rugby League Player Association versus NRL stuff. And it seems like it's not going away anytime soon. It's continuing with actions being made by the Players Association to try to get their points across and try to be listened to by the NRL. And of course, the NRL, being Peter Vallandis, being Andrew Abdo, and these TV broadcasters and journalists that live or die by the product. Of course, the message has been out through the media that the players are selfish and they just want more and more, and they're just being greedy at this point, and that they should really concede some of these points, get a deal done, and continue on. Now, obviously, that narrative's been pushed by one group and one organisation, and actually reminds me a little bit of the strike happening in Hollywood at the moment for the writers and the actors going against these major studios and streaming and AI in the movie and TV show world in that industry. But in terms of rugby league, obviously, me and Nick had a great conversation, me and Nicole Timotreski, a couple of weeks ago. Go check that out, and I actually will. I've said it for a couple of weeks now, but I will be dropping it this week later, on probably about Friday afternoon, if you want to listen to that full conversation as a separate podcast episode, a little bit of a bonus episode to go back and listen to that conversation. But, you know, since me and Nick had that talk, they haven't really got anywhere in negotiations. Clint Newton was offered by Peter Vallandis to come back to the negotiation table. He's refused because the NRL doesn't seem to be wanting to have, you know, a third party, a independent union representative come in and negotiate with them. Andrew Abdo and Clint Newton seem to be at a place where they won't be able to come to an agreement, those two. There seems like there's some real hatred there. And, you know, the 100 amenities that the NRL made to these contracts that me and Nick talked about 2 weeks ago, and basically saying take it or leave it, nothing's been done by the NRL to really, you know, call a truce and concede a few of these points. But I'm definitely on the players' side. The NRL and the media can spin it all they want, and they do have some points. I feel like this media boycott that the players have done has only really hurt the ends and haven't really accomplished anything, because the NRL, unfortunately, has been unwilling to budge. But at the end of the day, the players are standing up for what they believe in, and the NRL haven't taken the action to resolve any of these issues. So really, because of the NRL and because of their, I guess, unwillingness to compromise in any of these big decisions, it's the fans that are paying it for it at the moment. It's us. There's been reports throughout the last few days that now the Player Association are considering a Dally M boycott, like we saw back in 2003. That would be a real shame for all the players that put in hard work and, you know, had tremendous seasons, from, you know, Players of the Year to Rookie of the Year to the Positions of the Year. It would be a shame if they can't celebrate the season. The players and the fans that put so much time into the game and love into the game can't celebrate with their favourite players on that special night. So let's hope it doesn't come to that, because the Dally M award ceremony, while I think that it could be improved in a lot of areas, it's really a celebration of rugby league. And I think the last thing that we want as a sport and as a community is to lose the celebration and I guess that sense of pride and achievement that you know, so many people put into each season, and to get recognized and awarded for that at an award night once a year, I think it's really important for rugby league. So yeah, I hope it doesn't come to that. There's also been the reports that the players will actually cover the NRL logo, perhaps this week, perhaps in the next coming week. So I think that it's going to get worse before it gets better. And, you know, for the criticism that Clint Newton and the players and the association are copping throughout the media, and, you know, that agenda that the media wants everybody to believe, there is two sides to every story. And I feel like the players, because of this media ban, they haven't really had a chance to communicate their thoughts on the whole situation, and at the moment we're just getting one side, and it's actually swaying a lot of the general public, because they don't know better. They don't know a lot of the issues that are happening. I was uneducated before Nick helped me out and really showed me some of the facts, and when I did my own research investigation, I found exactly I guess how much the NRL is cutting quarters to try to undermine the players, and I don't think that's good enough. I love the game of rugby league, I love the NRL, but there's got to be some sort of compromise there, and the longer that it gets dragged out, the worse the situation's going to get. So I don't want to make the whole show about the Player Association. Me and Nick had that 35-minute conversation a fortnight ago, so go check that out. But as I said, it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets any better in terms of this situation moving forward, unfortunately. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack. But yeah, overall, it's going to be a really big weekend of football, and I'm looking forward to it. I mean, The top eight race is as close as it's ever been. The Rabbitohs sit in ninth after losing to the Brisbane Broncos 36-20 last weekend. And then they're in a situation now. They get Latrell Mitchell back this weekend to Vita Totola. So the Rabbitohs are full strength for this last month of football. And they're in a situation now where nearly every game is must win. It's got to start against the Tigers this weekend. It's a good time to be versing the Tigers when, you know, you got some players that probably haven't played a huge amount of football and they were definitely rusty last week, the Rabbitohs. But to get some momentum, it's an important weekend for them, especially for Latrell Mitchell back this week. And they absolutely must need to win. You've got the Eels that sit in eighth position on the ladder. They went down to the Cowboys last weekend where the Cowboys propelled themselves into seventh spot. So those two teams still fighting for their finals future. And, you know, the Cowboys, other than Penrith, are the form team in the competition at the moment. They're on fire. So they've got some big weekends coming up. I mean, this week they got the Titans, next week the Broncos. So if they can win both of those games, they're pretty much in a position where they've almost locked themselves into a finals campaign, especially if they can beat the heavyweights in the Broncos next week. For the Eels, they've, you know, Mike Acevo and Campbell Gillard both facing a few more weeks on the sideline because of their suspensions. They're under-trooped at the moment, and I guess their forward pack's taken a little bit of a battering, and without Campbell Gillard, one of their leaders there, and Sean Lane, who's injured as well. They're a little bit short up front, the Eels, and they're going to have some brave performances because their start to the year is diabolical. Middle of the year, incredible bounce back, but they're going to find themselves under a lot of pressure, and they're going to have to really produce some good efforts against some heavyweights of this competition if they're going to see themselves playing at the start of September in some finals football. The other teams that, you know, could be on the brink and could be in a little bit of trouble in terms of confirming their top eight spot at the moment, the Cronulla Sharks on 26 points. Obviously, it's been a little bit of a collapse, and I've been very critical myself of the Sharks on this podcast. Last week, I think, was season-defining, the game against Manly, and to be 30-0 down before they started a bit of a comeback and made it close at the end, and some decisions went against them. At the end of the day, you shouldn't be 30-0 down in the game if you want to play finals. And yeah, the first half performance just wasn't good enough for Cronulla. Nico Hines still seems, even with Trindle as his partner instead of Matt Moylan, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And with Dale Finucane, who brings so much leadership and, I guess, class to his performances up in the forward pack for Cronulla, without him for the rest of the season, he's going for bicep injury. I think they're going to be really have their backs against the wall to make the eight. They're currently on 26 points, with a pretty good four and against, plus 98. But I don't know how many more games Cronulla are going to win this season, to be honest. And Penrith this week, the versus the benchmark of the competition, who are almost back to full strength themselves, it's going to have to be some sort of effort if Cronulla are going to go to Penrith and cause a massive boil over and a massive upset this week, and I can't see it happening personally. The Raiders are on 28 points, but their four and against is minus 56, so they've got some big weekends coming as well. Newcastle on Saturday afternoon, the game against Newcastle, could be season defining for both teams. So, you know, those are the teams that sit around the eight. And then you've got Manly and Newcastle on 23 points, both knocking the door down and both still with chances. And as I mentioned, that Newcastle game against the Raiders on Saturday, Arvo, going to be huge. Manly, on the other hand, they're versing the Dragons at Wynn Stadium. Opportune time to verse them. Wynn Stadium, it's hard to beat the Dragons at, but they're celebrating Daly Cherry Evans' 300th game. And it's going to be quite an occasion down there at Wollongong on Saturday. So, yeah, there's a lot to play for a lot of these teams. Still got 11 teams pretty much in contention to make the finals at this point. And, you know, anything can happen in this last month of footy. So I'm excited to see what unfolds. But let's get into our round 22 tips. Let's get straight into it. I only got 4 out of 8 last week. It was a really tough week, I think, for everybody, with some massive upsets and some games that just didn't go the way I thought they would. And again, that shows you the signs of a really close competition. Usually at this point of the season, you can kind of gauge where teams are at and form lines. But this season, anyone can beat anyone at any time. So, you know, it's a close competition. Teams are out to, you know, prove that they're worthy of finals or worthy of top four or just not even worthy of the wooden spoon at the moment. And it's going to be another big round, no doubt about it. The action kicks off this Thursday night at 7:50 up there at Suncorp Stadium. All right, let's get into the round 22 action. And I apologise, I forgot about the Women's World Cup. So this Thursday night's game doesn't take place in Suncorp Stadium. It actually takes place at the Gabba up there in Brisbane. The Brisbane Broncos versus the Sydney Roosters. And these two teams are at different points of their season. I think that is safe to say for the Broncos. They are They want to avoid what happened last year, and they want to play some consistent football and not fall to pieces at the back end of the season. It's been a great season for them, and you know, it was a huge scout last week against South Sydney. South Sydney looked off their game almost immediately, and I think all credit has to go for the Broncos for not allowing them to play that natural game. They heavily targeted Cody Walker and really shut down the Rabbitohs' attack. And because South Sydney got frustrated, I think that they really got in the head of them and scored some easy points because of that. So it was another big performance by the Broncos. And I actually like what Kevin Walters said to the media throughout this week, and that's that there's going to be a focus on defence. They know they've still got a way to go there, but you're going to continue to see improvement, and it's going to continue to show itself this Thursday night. And that shows me that Kevin Walters is really confident that they're going to, you know, go all out to avoid what happened last year and be contenders at the right time of the year. And, you know, when you look at the squad, Reece Walsh added so much coming back into the team. He adds another element to the attack. But with Mam and Reynolds, you got two confident playmakers. And I think that Mam's game just gets elevated by the fact that he can play that natural running game while Reynolds controls the footy. When they've got their full forward pack contingent, what they do this week in terms of Carrigan and Huss with Flegler coming back in, it's a pretty menacing forward pack. And then you got some young players playing some really good football on the bench for him, like Willardson and Kobe Heverington and Corey Jensen. So, yeah, there's a lot of upside with the Broncos at the moment. And, you know, I know there's doubters whether they can win the competition or not. Feel good said they can't, but they're doing all the right things at the moment. And if they can do it at the back end of the season, they're going to be hard to stop. On the other hand, you've got the Sydney Roosters, and the last week was a good win by them against the Titans. Actually, they hit the Titans in that game, but the Roosters just blew them off the park early, and it was their best performance in several months. Tedesco continued his recent good form after, obviously, a tough season there. And I think that Sam Smith and Luke Keary combined the best they had in the Haas for, you know, probably that whole combination since Sam Smith came to first grade. The forward pack stood up as well. I think Hargreaves was great in his stint, so was Lindsay Collins. So they're going to have to be good again this week because Brisbane's going to be no easy task to beat up there at the Gabba. And, you know, the Roosters, they've got slim finals hopes, but they're going to have to put, you know, probably their best performance of the year this week if they want to continue that hope. And, you know, at this point, they pretty much got to win every game or close to every game, especially if they're bad for and against, if they're going to be playing finals football in 2023. They've only got the slimmest chance. And I look at these two teams and I see superstars on both sides. I mean, Teddy and Manu, when they can get going, they'll be hard to stop. And, you know, the forward pack from the Roosters, they can be menacing. But for mine, the form card's just not there for the Roosters. I still think they have problems scoring points. I know they scored plenty last week, but I think the Titans made them look good. And their defence has a lot of question marks there for me as well. So on Thursday night, I'm leaning the way of Brisbane. I just think that Brisbane continue to improve, and they can continue to improve this next month and host a final up there at Suncorp Stadium, week one of the finals, to get into a prelim. They're going to be almost impossible to stop. So for me, I've got the Broncos. I've got the Broncos by 10 points, and I think that will effectively, most likely, eliminate the Roosters for the rest of 2023. The ups and downs of supporting an NRL club, let me tell you. Friday night, 6 p.m, it sees my South Sydney Rabbitohs travel up to Scully Park up there at Tamworth versus the West Tigers from 6 p.m. in the opening game of year double on Friday night footy. And South Sydney, obviously it was a week to forget last week, and it's been a couple months to forget really since Latrell Mitchell got injured back in round 12 against the Eels. The Rabbitohs have won 2 out of 7 games. They've really missed his presence on and off the field, and he does come back this week, as does Tevita Totola, to give the Rabbitohs a bit more, I guess, push and grunt up in the forward pack. But you know, the Rabbitohs, they're just off their game at the moment. The concerning thing for me is their defence, and I've often said on this show and off air that you don't defence wins premierships, and the Rabbitohs at the moment, they've been abysmal in that area. They're conceding soft points, especially through the middle of the football field, that teams just are making a lot of metres. I mean, there was times in just normal sets where the Broncos were starting 10 metres out from their own line last Friday night, and then, you know, getting to the Rabbitohs 20 in a set, and that's just not good enough. It's an attitude problem. There's a discipline problem there at South Sydney as well. And when things go wrong for them, they can escalate quickly. And, you know, when something as little as, you know, which doesn't have a big impact on South's game, but something as little as Cody Walker being put off by a moment in a game, or, you know, the Rabbitohs having a less than desirable meter yardage in a set, can just completely collapse the rhythm of that team at the moment. And You know, Cody Walker out there, he looks like he's got the weight in the world at his shoulders. He's doing all the kicking at the moment. Lachlan Ilias had no kicks in the field of play last weekend. He is the team's halfback, and one of the reasons South signed him to a long-term deal was so he could control the team and just let Cody Walker play his natural role. Yes, there's just problems there at the moment. Damien Cook not playing 80 minutes and looking fatigued, not helping matters. And it's been a tough season for a lot of these South Sydney players, and you know, a lot of them have been out injured for periods of the year and they don't have much footy in their legs. But with Latrell Mitchell back this week, a lot of people are just expecting it all to come together. And I think that the whole thing that Latrell's been out, and you know, he makes South's defence better and their attack clicks more, I think it's just an excuse. There is an attitude problem there at South Sydney at the moment. I am a diehard Rabbitohs fan, and it's just not good enough. If they want to be contenders for a competition this year and next year when Jack Wharton comes in as well, they've just got to be better at those effort areas. And, you know, not clock in and out of games. It's just not helping us at the moment. Lachlan Ilias, I've said in the past, maybe he needs a sit down. I think he's been one of our most consistent performers for 2 years. He's always suits up week in and week out and turns up for the Rabbitohs, and he's, you know, played 90% of the games in the last two seasons. But yeah, he's still a really good defender. He's not having an impact in terms of game management or an attack at the moment. And, you know, I said it last week that maybe Blake Taff should be our number seven moving forward. But Blake Taff's just signed to the Bulldogs. So I'd take that back, and I'd say that, you know, the Rabbitohs have to continue to focus on the future, whether it's him or Dean Hawkins, who has been pretty good in his limited time in first grade. You know, there needs to be improvement in that game management area. And with Latrell coming back in, I'm sure that will fix some of those issues, and maybe he just lifts everybody up around him. And, you know, if he can roam both sides, it'll make Ilias' job a little bit easier. But, yeah, there definitely needs to be better communication out there between the playmakers for Souths. And, yeah, the forward pack needs to fire up, because they were badly beaten in the middle by the Broncos last week. And Cam Murray was really good last week. But the likes of Tom Burgess, and, you know, who's been a great performer for the Rabbitohs for a number of years, and Jai Arrow, Fita Tola come back in this week, that the whole forward pack needs to be better. They need a bit of a rev up, and there is no reason really this week why the Rabbitohs shouldn't be beating the West Tigers. You know, there's not much to say in the Tigers. They pretty much got this wooden spoon wrapped up now after the loss to the Dragons last week, and you know, they barely fired a shot at St. George. The scoreline actually flattered them because of the sin bins in that game, and you know, there's a lot of problems internally and on the football field for the Tigers. They do get Luke Brooks back this week, but you know, surely Souths have too much points in them. And as bad as the Rabbitohs' defence is, you look at the Tigers and you just go, wow. The Tigers, if there's one thing we can give them credit for, is a lot of times, apart from games like that Cowboys game, but recent times anyway, they seem to be staying in the fight in football games and not getting too far behind. But their defence is awful, and they can barely fire a shot in attack at the moment. So yeah, it's going to be a tough last month for the Tigers. The Rabbitohs need this win, need this confidence booster if they're going to do anything at the back end of the season. But, you know, if I'm Jason Demetrio this week, I just want to see improvements in those effort areas by the Rabbitohs. It doesn't matter getting the 2 points this week, because obviously they need it. And to say it doesn't matter is stupid by me. But, you know, it's almost a given that the Rabbitohs are going to win this game. But if they underestimate the Tigers, they're going to find themselves in for a long afternoon. But for me, it's all about discipline defensively and attitude. And I don't care how many points South Sydney score in this game, but if they want to be a premiership contender, the amount of points they concede need to be very low, and it needs to be a gritty, defensive orientated victory. And you know, if they can be good in that area, I think they can really build some good football in the next month, and who knows when it comes to finals. But yeah, surely last week was a wake-up call for CS, and there's got to be improvement in those key discipline and defensive areas, no doubt about it. I've got the Rabbitohs by 20 against the Tigers on Friday night. A big blockbuster for the second game of Friday Night Football this week from Marvel Stadium down there in Melbourne. It's the Melbourne Storm versus the Parramatta Eels. And Melbourne, they are very hot and cold at the moment, which I'm sure Craig Bellamy won't be happy with. In fact, I know he'll be filthy with some of their recent efforts. They were 12-0 up against Newcastle last week before collapsing, and Tarek Sim got sin-binned, which didn't help him either, but they got in a hole, they couldn't get out of it, and it was a very unlike Melbourne performance. Now, we've said that several points throughout this year. Sometimes they look like they can win the Premiership, the Storm, and I mean, even look at that first half on the over versus Penrith when they were incredible, and then they dropped off, and that just really that game has really, I guess, highlighted the Storm's year so far in a nutshell. The promising thing is that, you know, they've got Craig Bellamy, they've got these superstars, and we know they can put it together. If Munster, Hughes get rolling, you know, the forward pack, who have gained some key experience over the last 24 months in some of these young kids like Lariro and Grant and Alec McDonald, there's no doubt that they can have a big impact on a game and upset some teams and prove that they can win this competition. But at the moment, it's not coming together, and they need to be more consistent. Just like the Rabbitohs, I think they've got a problem defensively. When things go wrong, they can compound pretty quickly, and usually Bellamy's teams are much more disciplined, but it's almost like the Melbourne Storm at the moment are a really confidence-based team. And, you know, the Knights just wanted it more last week. And if the Storm want a top 4 point spot at the end of the regular season and have two bites of the apple, they need to be better, and they need to be better, you know, consistently. And they need to play some consistent football. Papahoussen apparently is only a few weeks away. But, yeah, there's no doubt that Bellamy's troops need a response this week. Their opponents are the Parramatta Eels, who they have had some trouble against in the past. And just like the Storm being desperate for a good performance this week, if they are, then the Eels are extremely desperate because they find themselves an eighth spot in the ladder. Obviously, you know, the Rabbitohs and Manly and Newcastle as well are really trying to make a push here to get back into the eight. And, you know, the Eels with their injury problems and, you know, some indifferent form at times during the season, their backs are against the wall. They've got a really tough run home. And, you know, this is a rematch from round one where the Eels actually in front at halftime and lost the game. So, you know, when they lose close, Parramatta. But the this is a do or die week for them in terms of getting some momentum. I don't necessarily think they have to win this game of football, but obviously they can't afford to lose too many more. But they need to show something. They need to show some real some desire and some want this week. And some of these key effort areas have to be there for Parramatta, just like they have to be there for Melbourne. It's going to be a tough month of football ahead. And this is where their leaders, their playmakers, have to step up. The likes of Gufson, Moses, Junior Paulo, Ryan Madison, these got to be the guys that dig the Eels out of their hole. Because you look at their forward pack and their bench, the experience isn't there at the moment. And, you know, that's why you're paying these guys the big bucks. So it's going to be an interesting game on Friday night. I think that both teams, when they're on and when they're at their best, are absolutely very capable of winning this competition. It's just the inconsistency that we're seeing from a lot of these potential contenders at the moment. It makes the games unpredictable. And Melbourne down there, always hard to beat. I know they're not playing at Amy Park, but at Marvel Stadium, it's just around the corner. They're not going to be too fazed by that. For Parramatta, they've got a big chance to take a big ski up. And they're not going to do that if they're not committed defensively. They also can leak some points, Parramatta, but they're a great attacking team. I think it'll be a blockbuster up there on Friday night. I'm going to lean the way of Melbourne, just from those game winners that they've got there in Munster and Hughes and Grant. You don't see two subpar performances by the Storm in a row very often. I think Bellamy are going to have these guys fired up. And I said it with Coz last week, people were sleeping on Melbourne. In terms of their premiership chances, they had an off week last week, but on their day, they're capable of beating anyone. So I've got the Storm by 6 points on a Friday night. You guys know what time it is. It's my favourite time of the week. It's Super Saturday. The action this week kicks off at 3 p.m. In my opinion, it could be perhaps the game of the round. GIO Stadium in Canberra. The Canberra Raiders versus the Newcastle Knights. The Raiders, they were in a tight one against the Warriors last week. I thought they were dead and buried. They came back. They made a game of it, and they couldn't get the job done in Golden Point. And, you know, the effort was there by Ricky Stewart's men, but it's a problem that I think that a lot of people have with Canberra, that they, you know, they're a good footy team, but can they rise to the next level in finals football and, you know, upset some of the heavyweights of this competition? They couldn't do it against the Warriors. I don't see them doing it against the teams like the Broncos or Penrith or CF Sydney. So there's an issue there by Ricky Stewart, but I don't think the heart or the effort of the players could be questioned at all there. Their opponents, the Newcastle Knights, they were great last week. And, you know, Caelan Ponga, absolutely on fire the back end of this season. They're going on a bit of a run now, the Knights. Now, I expected a little bit earlier. They lost the key game against the Roosters about a month ago. But I think their season is going to be defined by this performance. Now, Adam O'Brien was under a lot of pressure to start the year. I think that the effort from Newcastle have really saved this job, and I think that he'll be safe for the back end of the season regardless of what happened. But to go down there and beat Canberra in Canberra this week, would be, you know, a massive statement to say that this season's been building to this month and we're taking it seriously and we want to be a part of finals in 2023. Now, I've still got question marks over the halves in terms of Gamble and Hastings and how they control the game of football. But there's no doubt the forward pack's fired up. Frizzell's playing some really good football. Lachlan Fitzgibbon's finding some holes. You know, Bradman Best, the outside back's form's been unreal. And Dominic Young and Greg Marzo just keep finding a way to score tries. There's a lot of upside there at Newcastle at the moment. And, you know, the thing that I think that fans can be proud of, regardless of how the season goes, and they always turn up in the hunter, but the effort has never really been questioned at home or away. And, you know, I think that they are a team that are capable of making the finals, and they do that perhaps winning the game week one. I honestly do. They're playing a confident brand of football, and I like it. And the Raiders, you know, each week they just seem to be in battle after battle where they can't put teams away, or the games come out and turn out to be really close games where they kind of struggle to the finish line. It's just whether they win those games or lose them at the moment. And, you know, if I'm Ricky Stewart, I want to see a response from the Raiders. They can't be getting their hands dirty every week just to not come up with the 2 points in the big games like against the Warriors last week. So I think it's such an important game for both teams. 3 o'clock Saturday, the sun's going to be shining in Canberra. Might be a little bit cold like it always is down there, but I expect points to be scored. Both teams can score points when they want to, and, you know, sometimes their defence leaves a bit to be desired. I think that, you know, the likes of Dominic Young and Marzu can have a field day for Canberra. Sebastian Chris is playing some good football. I expect Jack Wyden to take the line on this game. So I think there's going to be points of plenty. But at the end of the day, I think the loser of this game, 2023, gets a lot harder in terms of momentum, in terms of placement on the ladder, and it's a crucial game for both teams. I actually think Newcastle can get the job done. Going down to Canberra, the confident football they're playing with at the moment, they've got nothing to lose, Newcastle, and I think they're showing that on the field. For me, Canberra, playing a little bit too lateral. Tarpanay and Big Red, Corey Halls, where there's no doubt that they straighten up the attack a bit. But, yeah, they're too sideways for me at the moment. And, you know, they play like a team, especially when they're in the lead, that's not confident when they get to the lead. So, for mine, I just think Newcastle, they're playing some good football. I'm liking their attitude at this point of the season. I think they can go on a run. I think it start this week, and I got Newcastle by 6 points. I think it'll be a very tight game of football. I expect a sold-out crowd there at Canberra on Saturday afternoon, and points to flow, that's for sure. The 5:30 Super Saturday game takes place at Wynn Stadium this week, and this is a game I'm actually going to be in attendance for. It's the St. George Illawarra Dragons versus the Manly Seagulls, and you know, the Dragons, it's been a season to forget, but they did get the win last week against the Tigers. They look like they probably have avoided the wooden spoon, and, you know, they're making necessary changes for the future. I think Shane Flanagan's got his hands all over the club at the moment. Moses Zembai's left overseas. The likes of Dean Russell and the Couchman's brothers, they're getting a run at the moment, and, you know, they seem to be blooding some of these young guys, which I think's important. And, you know, when your season's over, you may as well throw everything gets the wall and see what sticks. And it's going to be interesting this week because they're versing Manly, the Dragons, and Shane Flanagan's not going to know what coach's box to go to, I don't think. I think he's obviously his job at the moment is to get Manly to the finals as assistant coach and help him get there. And for the Dragons, just to, you know, prepare himself for the next 3 to 4 years that he's going to be at the club. For mine, this is the feel-good story of the week, and it's Daly Cherry Evans' 300 first-grade game. It actually makes me feel extremely old that, you know, he debuted, 12 years ago already? He's already played 300 games. I was in high school at the back end of my high school when he debuted, and it seems to have gone really quickly. but, yeah, love him or hate him, Cherry Evans has been a great player in the game for, you know, those entire 12 years. He won a premiership as a teenager, basically, in the first year in the competition, one of the only rookie halves to ever win that. It was him just Sean Johnson in that 2011 grand final, Manly versus the Warriors. And we always could see the potential, and I know that sometimes he's not the most liked player, and he's a very controversial figure in our game. And there was talks about, you know, players not wanting to play with him and not getting along with teammates. But what he has done, he's just completely reinvented that image and became the leader of the Queensland side. He's playing career-best football at the moment. He's had a great season for Manly, and I think he was the most influential player in Queensland this year, and I think he deserves a big celebration this week, and when he goes back to Brookvale, I think he will get it. And I actually expect a close-to-sellout crowd there at Wynn Stadium on Saturday afternoon. It's going to be a big occasion. I think even Dragons fans can, even if you're a New South Wales Blues fan like myself, can definitely appreciate the career that Cherry Evans has had. Not always the most likable figure, but a guy that's always given his all on the field. So congratulations, Cherry Evans. He becomes the 49th player to play 300 games, and it's quite the achievement. I think he's still got plenty of years at the top left. In terms of this game, Manly have to win to keep their finals alive, and I think that last week they played a really good half football before it all kind of fell apart in the second half, but they got 2 points, and that's the main thing. Finding a way to win without Tommy Turbo, their star. And they scored some points, which is what they really struggled to do 2 weeks ago in that Cowboys game when they went down 19-8. Defensively, I think they've been solid, but they really got hurt by, both their front rows going down last week. So Matt Lodge and Aaron Woods, the two mid-season recruits, I know that they are getting older and, to the back end of their NRL careers, but I think they've got a big job to do ahead of them this week and in the next month of footy to continue that momentum and get their team on the front foot. And that's why Seibold signed them at the end of the day. So I think that those two, Oluquatu, Turbo, I think the forward pack needs to be up for this game against the Dragons, because, as I said, the Dragons got nothing to lose. They may as well just throw all cautiousness out of the window and just see what they've got in this last month of footy before, obviously, the rebuild starts next year. So I think it's going to be an entertaining game at Wynn Stadium. Ultimately, on the back of the emotion and the occasion of Cherry Evans 300, I can't see anything but a Manly win at the end of the day, and I've got Manly by 12 points on Saturday afternoon. 35 game of Super Saturday takes place at Bluebet Stadium up there in Penrith. The defending premiers, the Penrith Panthers versus the Cronulla Sharks. Yeah, I think this is going to be a slaughter, guys. I don't know if there's any other words about it. The Panthers are almost full strength, apart from, I believe, Spencer Lenu, who's going to be out for the next month. But if anything, that probably helps Penrith in the long run, because you come back fresher than ever for the start of the finals campaign. And, Cleary backed this last week. He didn't even really get out of first gear, and he didn't have to. They beat the Bulldogs pretty comfortably without going overboard with it. And, full strength versus a team that's currently in the top eight, I'm sure they're going to come out on Saturday night and really, in front of their home crowd as well in Penrith, and really put in a show for their fans. I think that for the Sharks to win this game, they're going to have to be 500 times better than what we've seen all year. It's that simple. The Panthers can score from anywhere, from any point of the field. Their forward pack get in opposition faces, and the momentum that those guys just manage to continuously get to start games. The teams just start on the wrong foot against Penrith, and Penrith just suffocate teams of possession and placement on the field, and oppositions, they often find themselves stuck in their own 30 metres zone and have to kick to avoid this constant pressure. So Penrith, they're looking almost unbeatable at the moment. It's going to be interesting to see if anyone can stop them at the back end of the season. But Cronulla, obviously last week leading into that game, they dropped Matt Moylan, they dropped Talakai, and they were blown out of the park early. Trindor and Hines, it didn't really matter what they did because they were so beaten in the forward pack. And with the injury to Finucane and some fitness issues of Hemman Ueli and some of their other front rowers, I know Toby Rudolph hasn't played much football this year, and Drees Hunt has had a long layoff. They just seem to be really missing some big leaders and some big motor engines there in the front row at the moment that can get them into games, and Penrith are the best of the business at it. So I just don't see any world where, unfortunately, the Sharks even get close to Penrith on Saturday night. I think that out of all the teams in the race for the top eight at the moment, the Sharks are the most likely to fall out, unfortunately. I don't know how many more games Cronulla have wins for the rest of the year, to be honest. I think that they are really on struggle point at the moment, and the pressure's on Fitzgibbon to somehow get these troops around it and save their season, because at the moment, even if they make finals, I just don't see any situation where they can do any damage to any of these heavyweight contenders. And we've seen it all year when they verse a great team, they don't show up and they get destroyed. I expect that trend to continue this week. You'd love to see a response from Cronulla for all their fans, but I just don't see it happen. And I've got Penrith by 30 points on Saturday night. Sunday afternoon football kicks off at 2 p.m. this week, and it's the Canterbury Bulldogs versus the Dolphins at Bundaberg this week. We're going to some weird venues at the back end of the season, but the Bulldogs taking a home game up there at Bundaberg, so it's almost a home game for the Dolphins more than the Bulldogs. But these teams are both at the point where, 2023 is almost a write-off. The Dolphins had a really successful first year, and obviously the injuries and the lack of depth have caught up to them in this second half of the season, but have plenty to be proud of. And
you know, they're still competing hard, but it's obvious they just don't have the depth there to challenge any of these contenders in the competition. The Hammers had a fantastic year. I expect that to continue. So is the Psycho. There's some real good feel-good stories in this Dolphins outfit, and Nick Arima and Sean O'Sullivan get to partner in the Haas for the first time almost all year, so that'll be interesting as well. They've still got a really strong forward pack, and their opponents, the Dogs this week at the moment, in the past month, I think they've conceded about 48 points a game. It's been awful. I know they beat the Rabbitohs, and the Rabbitohs had 10 first graders out, but you know, to their credit, they fought hard in the second half last week against Penrith, and you know, they're lacking leaders, they're lacking depth at the moment. I know they get Kiki out back this week finally. The Fox is back in as well for them, and Sexton returns in the half for Matt Burden. Avarillo's the new fullback, so they're just changing the team around and seeing what sticks, because 2023 is a write-off at the moment. I think that I look at this game and I see, I can honestly see it going either way. I don't think we should spend a huge amount talking about it, because it's about two teams that I think 2023's done and dusted for them, unfortunately. And, you know, I feel like the Bulldogs, when they can get on a roll, they can score points quickly. Their defence is abysmal, and I think that the Dolphins can expose that. But I don't know, I just see a Bulldogs win potentially on Sunday afternoon. But really, it's a toss of the coin game, and it's a game of two clubs that are looking towards 2024 at this point, let's be honest. I'll go the Bulldogs by four, but yeah, it's really anyone's game up there at Bundaberg on Sunday, Arvo. And in the final game of round 22, it's the Gold Coast Titans versus the North Queensland Cowboys up there at Cbus Super Stadium at 4:05. The Titans look like they put the queue in the rack for season 2023, unfortunately. They were in the mix for the top eight, but it's all fallen apart. They're still without their captain, Tino. Fifita's playing some good football still, but yeah, it's just not clicked for them this year, unfortunately. And the last week, I actually tipped them to beat the Roosters, and it was embarrassing. The defensive efforts were embarrassing. I said the explanation before, and I pretty much nailed it on the head, even though I tipped the Titans last week on last week's show, where I said they've got the substitute teacher, the interim coach for the rest of the year. They know Des Hasler's not there yet, but so they're just playing up. I think they've really just given up in the season, and the Maria's really down at the place at the moment, because they don't know what a lot of these individual players' futures are going to hold at the moment when Des comes in and gets his hands on the club during the off-season. So I think it could be a really tough month ahead for Titans fans, and I just don't even know if they're going to win another game, to be honest. I don't see it happening this week. Obviously, the Cowboys are close to the form team of the competition. Another big win last week against the Parramatta Eels, and they find themselves positioned in the top eight at the moment. And honestly, can you see them giving up that spot at the moment? I can't. So, yeah, they're flying. Drinkwater's playing great football. So is Scott Dearden. Drinkwater's playing great football. So is Tom Dearden. Their forward pack's firing. Obviously, Nenai's a bit of a loss. But, yeah, I just see them having way too many points for the Gold Coast Titans. And I'm actually really looking forward to their game against the Broncos next week. But, again, another game we're not spending much time on, because I just think that it's going to be one-way traffic. And, honestly, it's just the Cowboys by how many. So I've got the Cowboys by 40 points on Sunday afternoon, and that is my tips for round 23 of the Telstra Premiership. Let's just recap. On Thursday night, I've got the Broncos being too strong for the Sydney Roosters and ending their 2023 finals hopes. The Friday games, we've got the Rabbitohs bouncing back against the Tigers, the Storm bouncing back against Parramatta and, you know, making it tough for Parramatta to make the finals. Super Saturday, I've got the Newcastle Knights with a massive upset against the Raiders to continue their finals hopes. Manly celebrate Cherry Evans 300th install against the Dragons, and at 7:30 the Panthers dominate the abysmal Cronulla Sharks. Sunday afternoon football, I've got the Bulldogs in an upset against the Dolphins, and the Cowboys being way too strong for the Titans. So those are my tips for round 23. I hope you guys have enjoyed the podcast this week. Plenty of action coming your way before finals time, obviously, and plenty of editions of this show. Hopefully the Players Association can sort out their dramas, and we can see some good football this weekend. I hope you enjoy it, guys, and I'll see you next time on Steve's NRL Footy Tips.